this week, we are going to continue our conversation that we started last week on accelerating your career through professional engineering licensure.
As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today.
I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. And it is my pleasure to guide you on your journey to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. And I hope that you are having a great week. So this is a recording that was adapted from a panel discussion that was part of the Transportation Leadership Launchpad program. And that is a leadership enrichment program that we developed to support the summer interns at the Michigan Department of Transportation. The program is designed to equip the participants with the skills, tools, and insights that they need to continue to become the next leaders in transportation. So the goal for this week is similar to last week, is to provide practical advice for those of you looking to advance your careers in the engineering field, whether you are a current student or a seasoned engineer considering licensure. You're going to find some valuable insights to help you navigate the whole process. Let's dive in and start accelerating your career today.
So there's an analogy that I got from one of my mentors, James Bell. He's a PE as well. He worked with me at Illinois Department of Transportation. He put an analogy to me that I use constantly. So when I didn't have my license, it was like, I'm trying to get in my favorite restaurant, but I won't be seated. When I get the FE, I'm seated and they're feeding me salad and bread. I'm not really eating the full meal yet because I don't have the PE. When you get the PE, now you get the full menu and you're eating whatever you want to eat. So it helps tremendously.
I think that's great. And so when I started working and was getting my experience for the PE was in the private sector. When I actually finally passed the PE exam, it was when I was in the public sector. And it did open up opportunities for promotions and other things for me. In fact, when I passed the PE, it opened up the opportunity for me to transition from managing a research projects to then becoming the person in charge of all of the statewide maintenance contracts in Virginia. So we've talked about, you know, the journey, the importance of having the PE and the FE. What I would like to know is, do you guys have any tips or tricks or tools or suggestions that you would have for the participants as they prepare specifically for the FE? And we can talk about the PE because some of the tips or tricks may be the same, but can we get into that a little bit?
Well, I took my FE and PE on the same year. So I was one of those people who marathoned the entire year. It took me 12 months to do both. It was one hell of a year. So for FE, I would definitely suggest that the closer you are to your graduation date, the better it is for you to take your FE because a lot of the fundamentals are clear to you. And when I took it, I was, I think, 4 years out of school. Not four, actually, 6 years out of school. Sorry, I just took it 2 years ago. 6 years out of school, that a lot of the fundamentals and just the ability to sit for long hours to study some of the things like calculus and things that you cannot relate to in your career anymore, it just gets very cumbersome. And not the test being lengthy and difficult is one aspect. The other aspect is you not being able to see the application of those concepts in your job anymore, which kind of creates a lot of friction. It prevents you from being excited about the subject, about taking the exam altogether. That's why I would say FE should be get done with as soon as possible, because when you get to the BE, at least you can inspire yourself by seeing the exact direct application of even your work and the concepts and whatnot in your day-to-day life. But with FE, in my personal experience, even though I took it a little bit later, although I do know people who have taken like 10 years out of school, 12 years out of school, and had to take it a couple times, only because of the fact that it's hard to get yourself excited about something like an FE exam because you cannot relate to it anymore.
Yeah, just the breadth of material that's covered in the FE can be daunting. And, you know, but as we've all said, keep pushing through to make that happen. Anna's been posting some resources. I know Andre posted a resource, but Anna's been posting a few things. Anna, do you have any?
I do have one great tip that I learned while I was taking my FE exam, which was you can take your FE as a general. So let's say I'm an electrical engineer, but my FE exam, for that, I went for general engineering exam, because you're still covering fundamentals of engineering like the exam states, but you don't have to put so much effort into like your first step, which is like your FE. You don't have to feel like, oh, I haven't really gotten into the depth of my industry to start taking FE exam, because it will be like 100% civil or 100% electrical. You can really take the general exam, and that can probably make it much quicker for you.
And I can see there's a lot of anxiety about the test in the chat. And, you know, tests are no fun for anyone, right? No one loves this. And I will just say I've met plenty of people that said, gee, I wish I had studied more, including myself, after you've taken an exam. I've never met somebody that said, I studied too much for the exam. And if you put it on the level of like the bar exam for lawyers, I think that is the level that you need to commit to study for it, and you will not regret that. I had plenty of regret when I didn't pass it the first or the second time that I didn't study enough. The first time I kind of went in cold. I was like, I'm going to bank on not passing it and just want to kind of experience it. And that was okay in my mind for that, because I had so much anxiety about the test. And so that actually helped me with framing the cadence of the exam and kind of the depth of it. So that was my mindset going into it the first time. And then I studied quite a bit and still didn't pass it, and then passed it on the third time.
As far as the FE, I would say definitely while you're in college, try to take steps to take the exam. A few of our panelists mentioned that, because when you're removed from college, you actually forget how to take tests. And so while you're in test taking mode, going through your college matriculation, you want to try to get that exam knocked out. A lot of the entry level jobs, the employers are asking for the FE within 6 months to a year of hire. So just to be able to compete with all the other applicants, you want to try to have that FE done. It's going to be a lot of your core competencies that you learned through your college matriculation. You're going to want to try to get that done and just be dedicated to, I tell all my mentees, probably set aside a good 3 to 5 months of just hunkering down and studying, doing all the practice exams that you can do, because you want to get to a point where there's not a question that you see that you don't know how to attack. And the way these tests are written, they're written by, you know, professional engineers. So they get together in a room and they write these questions for these exams. And they are trying to weed out if you really know what you're doing. And a lot of times I tell my mentees, like, make sure that you thoroughly read the problem statement, because it could be a problem that's very similar that you've seen during your independent studying. They like to put in the questions, distractors, I like to call them, where it's not things that you need to solve the problem, but if you don't know what you're doing, you'll go through a series of steps and they'll have the wrong answer as one of the answer choices. And so you have to really know what you're doing so that it's just, you have to really be diligent, do a lot of problems. I really took initiative to be like, I want to make sure that I cover all subjects. And I did the FE Civil because I didn't want to mess around with circuits. I didn't want to deal with thermodynamics. I was like, I'll just do FE Civil is something that I know, but you kind of have to know what your strengths are. And if you do take the exam and you don't pass it, get that diagnostic report and be real with yourself and see, like, okay, here's my strengths, here's my weaknesses. And the next time that you study, start with those weaknesses first and make them your strengths.
Yeah, I think that just reinforces the whole concept that failure is not failure unless you quit. When you do reach a point where you didn't pass, then you get the feedback, you figure out where do you need to adjust? What do you need to do differently in order to get the result that you want? Many times we focus on the outcome that we want, not on the inputs that we're using in order to get the outcome. And I think many of us know that there are things that we could have done differently. And we eventually did those things so that we could get the result that we want. We had a couple of questions that came asking about getting your PE in multiple states.
Sure. Well, I'm surprised when Anna said you got it in California and then you needed to do different things in Alaska. I did get it in Virginia to start. I've been fortunate that I could take that Virginia PE with Comity or Comity, not Comity, Comity, to other states, and really, and NCES has made it even easier having that online record of everything because you don't have to call your where you got your FE from and call where you got your original PE from. It's just all in the record, and they send that record off to the state, and then within generally a couple of weeks, barring some wackiness, you usually have the PE in the other state. I've not had to do any extra years of experience or test taking or anything to be able to get the PE in other states. Pennsylvania did make me go through a background check, which is a little bit strange, but was one of the few that was a little bit extra stuff. But all the other steps, as long as you don't let that lapse, I would be careful about your original state. Don't let it lapse. If you move across the country, I did move across the country to Arizona and then Utah, and I thought, oh, I don't need my Virginia PE. And then when I came back to Virginia, I was like, it was actually just to that 5 years. If you let it lapse for 5 years or more, you will have to retake the exam. So I would advise to keep it current if you think there's any chance you would still want that PE in that state. Generally, employers will pay for your PEs in states, your PE license, and your renewals. You do just watch your continuing education because each state's going to have its own continuing education requirements.
Anna, you said you were audited. How did that go, Anna?
It was fine. I think because government, and I think others have mentioned this in terms of when you start your career and working in government, there's a lot of training opportunities. It's a really great launch for new engineers as well as continuing your education in your career. So I have a plethora of training credits and certificates and transcripts and all that stuff just from being in this field and working for the government. So it was just a matter of a paperwork exercise to document and scan and do all of that. It was probably like 5 or 6 pages of scanning and sending it. And then there was a waiting period to make sure. And then I got an email saying it was all fine. So it was the first time I had gotten audited, and a few other people in the office had gotten audited at the same time. So it wasn't targeted, there wasn't any complaint or anything that was said or something to, it's just kind of, I think, a random assignment through the system.
So we do have a question regarding concepts versus comprehension. How would you recommend being able to not only know the concepts for the test, but also comprehending the test questions? For me, it's practice exams, practice problems, practice, practice, practice. You just keep doing more practice problems and you don't understand or you're not getting the right answer. Start investigating why. What is it about the way that I'm approaching this problem that's not allowing me to see that?
Yeah, James, you said it perfectly. Make sure you have some mentors that you can bounce things off of that have taken the exam. and give you some really valuable advice.
That network is huge. I understand there might be situations where you have to buckle down and study by yourself, but having others who've been through it or others who are going through it, usually you can find that within your peers, your company, or go to an organization like ASCE or YPT, Young Professionals in Transportation, something where you can find that network of people that might be going through the same thing as you or might be a little bit ahead of you and might be able to give you some advice. Using that network is really critical, especially when you're going through both the FE and the PE process. I wouldn't have gotten through it without that support.
Analyst, is there anything else that you want to share?
Get comfortable with the regulation page for the state that you're in. You will have to do some paperwork and just call the office and talk with them about your situation. They get these calls all the time. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and talk through if you have any questions about the application process or your qualifications to sit for it.
All right, I want to thank you guys for your time providing your insights into the FE and the PE. I really do appreciate it.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coordinating this. But all of the speakers here, you just don't know. You have provided a tremendous value. In our department, what we're committed to is growth. And in the government sector, we know there's variances in what we can offer, but we can offer growth. And by investing in Dr. Bryant and his association with you all, you've just really helped out many students. We probably have about 30 or more that could not make it today, and this is the main thing they talk about. So I missed a little bit of the call myself, but a lot of what I've been asked is in order to create a study group, what is that? And we actually have some employees here that work straight out of college and they just never pursued their FE, and now they're at a pivotal spot where they're open for leadership. If you'd be willing to share some potential suggestions or resources. Thanks for your time, and thanks for the opportunity, Dr. Bryant.
So, James, in this case, they don't have their FE, or they have the FE and they need to take the PE. Which is it again?
In this case, there are several that don't have their FE and maybe even has 10 years work experience and have moved on to advanced projects. And so that's kind of what it looks like.
So when I was working at Illinois DOT, I started working. I had graduated with my master's degree, and I didn't have my FE done. It took probably 2 years working for the department before I actually got serious about, okay, I need to get this thing done to be able to advance. I started to see just amongst my work colleagues, like those that had their credentials and those that didn't. And it's just, you start seeing the ceiling is low if you don't have those letters. For example, Illinois DOT to BA. So we start off as a civil engineer trainee, and all entry levels come in as a civil engineer trainee. They go through a 2-year rotational program. You hit all the different spots of civil engineering. You do traffic, you get some construction experience, you do roadway design, you do documentation. You get into soils. You spend some time over in the soils lab. So we were getting exposed to several different elements of civil engineering, but I just started to see that all of my colleagues that didn't have their credentials, they weren't eligible to be a CE4. You had to have your PE. Like otherwise, you would just stop at CE3. So you could not go past a 3 if you didn't have those credentials. And I was like, well, I want to be able to continue to grow. So for me, it was just an easy decision. If I want to have vertical movement and not horizontal or lateral, I've got to get my credentials.
I would just say, I know Tisha probably has more experience because she worked and waited to do both of them kind of simultaneously. But from observations, I would say that people who decide to make a change later on after they've started, those people are obviously working on their own trajectory, right? They've made a decision, they've done some internal work, and they're committed in one fashion or another. And I think it's worth being supportive of them in that journey and valuing their experience, but helping them however that looks like. And sometimes that's giving them the space to do that, whether it's sharing books or manuals and stuff like that with them, but also helping to recognize that it takes everybody a little bit of humility to put your ego aside, that this is just something that everyone has to jump through as an adult rather than like back in school at time. And it's not a popularity contest, and just be humble and share that humility with your team, your group, whoever, regularly, so that everybody recognizes this is not an ego thing. This is just a dance we all have to go through.
Yeah. And one of the things that I would add, James, for these individuals, so if you are listening in, you have been working for a while, you didn't do your FE before, you're 10 years in. Number one, I want to let you know that it's okay. Number two, I want you to give yourself grace and apply self-compassion. Understand, don't beat yourself up. Don't judge yourself, because if you do, that is going to hinder your ability to move forward and study. Give yourself permission to go back and study. Find a study group or find a program and study. Because if this is what you want for your career, if this is the thing that you have set out and said that you want to do, and studying is part of that next step. Apply for the exam, study. If you don't pass the exam the first time, it's okay. Many of us have already said that we took it multiple times. Nobody's ever come back and asked us how many times that we've taken it. So give yourself grace, but keep moving forward.
I think Anna touched on a very good point related to just ego versus insecurity. When we are really good engineers, we have 10 years of experience and we are progressing, getting into advanced projects, we assume that if we fail PE or if we fail FE, then it's just going to make us look so bad. Or even to ourselves, we will start doubting ourselves. But I think we should just consider our career engineering and what we do at our job versus our studies, two parallel lives, which obviously are related to each other, empower each other. But at the same time, these are just two parallel lives. I can be a great engineer, but I can be starting from zero in my test-taking methods in PE. And I think that can help with the mindset too, because I used to have that insecurity where I was like, oh, there are so many, a lot of the professionals that I was studying with, they had masters in electrical engineering, so their concepts were really good. So I had to kind of tell myself, I was like, okay, I don't have these concepts clear yet, even though I am an engineer, but I don't have this concept. So we build these concepts now, we start from scratch. Just telling myself that and having that type of humility that was touched upon earlier, to tell ourselves we can be a good engineer, but we can be just bad at taking a 12-hour test that tests every single concept on the go. And conversely, it's also true that people might have PEs, but they might not be great engineers. So they also have to work on that aspect too, where they're like, okay, I was great at this. I understand the concept, but application is not my strongest suit. So I have to work on this from scratch, or I have to learn from others in this area. So I think it works both ways.
You can have people that are great engineers that may not be good communicators. That's going to cause issues too.
For those that are on the call that want to endeavor greater things in engineering, partnering in collaboration with professionals that are well on their way, have accomplished specific goals, that's the way to get there. So how you shade and color your genius is by taking advantage of every opportunity, speakers, their lived experiences to enhance your capability to move forward and enlarge your territory by increasing your skill set. So with that said, I just really want to thank everyone on this call, every student that took the time to take a look at it, and forward thinking, everyone that will see this video and be encouraged to move forward with their goals and aspirations. Thank you.
As we wrap up our discussion on accelerating your engineering career through professional licensure, let's take a moment to reflect on some key insights. The journey to becoming a licensed professional engineer is not just about passing exams. It's about growth, perseverance, and a commitment to excellence in our field. So whether you are tackling the fundamentals of engineering exam or preparing for the professional engineering licensing exam, each step forward is a testament to your dedication and your passion for engineering, but also to yourself. To our listeners who may be hesitating or feeling overwhelmed by the process, here's a few things I want you to consider. I want you to embrace the challenge. Your future self will thank you for the doors that you're opening today. Also, I would encourage you to seek support. So here you want to build a network of mentors and peers who can guide and encourage you along the way. And this next one I think is really important, and that's practice self-compassion. If you stumble, remember, it's part of the learning process. Many successful engineers have been exactly where you are right now. So I want you to stay committed to your goals. The journey to greatness is demanding, but the rewards, both personal and professional, are well worth the sacrifice. As James Jackson beautifully put it, you have the power to shade and color your genius. By pursuing your PE license, you're not just advancing your career, you're expanding your capacity to make a meaningful impact in the world through engineering. I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there is a select group of people that actually follow through and do it and are living the life of their dreams. It is my desire for you to be part of that select few. And I want you to be great this week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.